It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'd like for you to turn this morning to Philippians chapter 1. We're just going to read one verse, verse 21. We're going to spend some time, this being Easter Sunday morning, we're going to spend some time looking at many other scripture verses and where Paul feels his life and his power and his strength, which is through the power of God. And we're going to look back through not only the death, but also the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so please that you but turn first of all to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Now, our address is 18th and Church Street, and the zip code is 62341. And again, that's Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois. So please that you drop us a card. I love hearing from you, and I do. I get into notes and cards, and thank you very much, because I love to hear from you and know that you're listening. And many of you folks catch me out about work, and we get to visit a little bit, and you share with me that you're listening. And it's very important that we know that we're reaching folks. But most of all, I hope that you come to know Jesus and again come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Now, Philippians chapter 1, reading verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A very short verse of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin today. Father, I thank you that we can come together and study your precious Word. I ask that you will take and your Holy Spirit will touch and change every life that's out there. There is no man, no organization, nothing can change a man's life except for you. And Father, I ask that you will come and you will touch the heart of every listener. And Father, that you will change that life. And again, we know that that comes through being born again, through a rebirth. The old nature, the old self can't do it. We need to be born into God. And so be born again. And so please that we come and know the Lord Jesus and believe in him by faith and come to that cross of Calvary and be saved. That is, it's not something just to understand, Father. It's something that comes into our heart and literally, completely changes our life. So please, Father, that you will touch the hearts today, that they'll come to know you, that they'll be born again, and then they'll begin to walk each day as you continue to touch their heart and change their life. And that comes only through you, from you, by the study of your precious Word. Now please, Lord, that you'll touch every heart that's listening today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a beautiful day. Every day the Lord has given us is a beautiful day. We are not promised tomorrow, and that's the reason that you need to take a very good look at the condition of your soul to know that you know the Lord Jesus. Many times this time of the year, there are two times of the year that people are more faithful to attend church. One is Easter Sunday morning, and the other is Christmas. At those two times, it seems like that they feel that's a reason to get up and go to church. Now, if this day that you're one that hasn't been to church all year, and you're getting dressed and you're going to go to church, I praise God for that. You get into church and you listen to that Word of God, but please don't let this be the last time, and please don't stay home and say, I'm not going to be one of those CE Christians, a Christmas Easter Christian, one that just goes over time, I'll wait and go another time. Don't do that. Get in the house of God today, listen to that Word of God, and let it touch your heart and change your life. For Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, to tell us, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We know back in the 12th verse of chapter 1 of Philippians, it says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul lived that the gospel would be taken out, the furtherance of the gospel. And then also in the 17th verse, he says that but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And so we have three here. We have that he is willing to die, if it need be, to the furtherance of the gospel, to the defense of the gospel. We also have that But if it's better that I live to continue to proclaim the Word of God, praise God again for the furtherance of the gospel, the defense of the gospel. And so please that you take the Word of God very seriously. Maybe that you have not had been listening very long. Maybe you don't attend church. I ask you that you study the Word of God. Don't be taken in by some organization or some group. I ask that you be taken in by the power and the presence of God. The only way that can take place is that you look into the Word of God and realize that it convinces you, it tells you, the Holy Spirit will show you your sin. Show you how wrong you are, show you how bad you are. And they say, boy, that's great, no wonder I don't want to study the Word of God. Well, my friend, you have to face that sin before you can be saved. You need to realize you're a sinner and lost, and once you get lost, then you can get saved. Now, I hope that you see that you're lost, and I hope that you see that you need a Savior, and I hope that you realize Jesus is the only one. There's no cult out there, there's no combination, and there's no major plan here that is man-made, because so many times we add things, and if you do these things, then you can become a Christian. Well, we do have some things in the Word of God that are very clear. This past Wednesday night, we spent some time looking at Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, and Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. It's concerning Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and Abraham and Isaac. It's concerning the offering of sacrifices. And we found in all three of those that it was God's way. God set out the plan, set out the way. It was God's way. We find as well that it was a requirement that death had to happen. It had to be the death of an innocent substitute. An innocent substitute. So first of all, it is God's way and God's way alone. Second, it was the death of an innocent substitute. And then thirdly, there was always the shedding of blood. Now those three things, as we look at the plan of God, and as we look today of resurrection, this is what people celebrate as Resurrection Sunday. You know, this is the day that Jesus came out of the grave some 2,000 years ago, and He's alive. And yes, He is alive, and yes, I totally and completely believe that. But unless you have come by faith to Jesus and accepted this perfect sacrifice, that resurrection means nothing to you. It means nothing. Now, we know in Romans chapter 9, chapter 5, verse 19, and I'd like to read this for you. Just listen very carefully. Again, we're kind of going a little bit different direction today, but the reason that I want you to know how Paul felt. Paul could say, according to verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Paul believed in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. Paul believed that if God, you're going to leave me here to live and to continue to work in the furtherance of the gospel and as well in the defense of the gospel, then I praise you, Lord, and I'm here to work. But I'm ready to die because I'm ready to go home and be with you. And you see, if Jesus had not died on the cross, if Jesus had not shed His blood, if Jesus had not come through the grave to the resurrection, to be alive on that day, there would be no life for you. There'd be no life for me. There'd be no life for Paul. Paul couldn't say these words in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, and he could not explain that. And again, the 20th verse of Philippians 1, 20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." And then verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Oh, that we could walk that way with the power and the strength of the Lord. Now let's take a look at a verse of Scripture here in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with the 19th verse. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." That's where we fall into that category. We're sinners. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That one was Jesus. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. When the law came, it showed us our sin. It revealed us how wrong and how sinful we are. That where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The love of God, no matter how filthy the sinner. And you know, we put categories. And if I have not murdered someone, why then I'm at a level ahead of the one that has. That's not so at all. Sin is sin, and sin will cost us your life. It means death. The wages of sin is death, Romans tells us. Again, the wages of sin is death. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be eternally separated from God. Right now, you have the presence of God around you, whether you're a Christian or not. His presence is here. His love is here. His kindness is here. People for years now, I hear them say, "Oh, I'm living in hell right here." No, you're not. You don't have the slightest thought, taste, or otherwise of hell. Because I tell you what, the day that you leave this world and you face the grave, that decision to whether you go to be eternally with God or eternally separated from God in the lake of fire, that's a decision that's already made. And that's the reason that I'm on here once a week for 30 minutes to convince you. And I can't say all the right words. There's nothing I can say, but what I can tell you is God's word. Because not in my words, but in God's words, there is power and there is strength. And when he tells me that whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my mind. And I praise God and I thank God that I have been able to come by faith to Jesus as each and every one of you can come today. Not because of my words, not because of my power, but because of God's word and God's power. Can you come to the saving grace, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today and begin a life? For the first time, begin life in Jesus Christ. Now, we have here that the law entered and the offense might abound. It revealed it. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 21 now. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Oh, to begin life today and through eternity with Jesus Christ, because if you'll come by faith to Jesus, and his power and strength is a victory over death. That's the reason we had that revealed so clearly when Jesus came out of the grave and other graves were opened. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, all these things took place to show us the power of God. That's what can save you. Now, chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Just because a lot of people have problems with knowing once you've come by faith, that act has taken place. You have made a decision by the Word of God, by the power of God. You have surrendered your heart unto the Lord Jesus. Once you do that, you are kept eternally. Now, a lot of people have problems with the little word there called eternal security. Well, I don't have any problems at all with that because God's Word tells us that we are kept by Him. Once you've come truly. Now, a lot of people make a confession of faith that is not real. It's something that they say with their mouth, but they do not believe it in their heart. God has not touched their heart and changed their heart. And until that change comes, are they eternally in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, and in Christ? Not until then. But once you have come by faith to Jesus, now you are kept in Him. And once you are kept, the desire of your heart will change. Oh, you still got that old mind. You still got that old fleshly desire to do things that are wrong and ungodly. But you have at this time now that you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. As that Holy Spirit is within your heart, that Holy Spirit continues to teach you and grow you His precious Word. That's the reason it's so important, my friend, to be in the house of God, growing in the Word of God. Now, you have a lot of a lot of activities, a lot of things going on in the community and worldwide that are seemingly very good things. But there is only one thing that can change your life, and only one thing that can truly make you good in the eyes of God, and that is His precious Word and His precious power upon your life. Nothing more. No group that you get in part. You know, today we have all kinds of support groups. Every type of sickness, every type of disaster, tragedy in anyone's life, everywhere, they immediately come up with a support group. Maybe you're attending a support group right now. Well, I'll tell you what, God knew that we would need each other, but He did that so He has given us the local church to come together, to help each other, to lift each other up through and by the power of God and the Word of God. You see, I don't need another support group because I have a God that understands me. I have a God that knows my heart. I have a God that knows tomorrow. And that's nothing that a support group can give you. And when you have believers in Jesus Christ together, all desiring and wishing to walk after the Lord Jesus, no matter what disaster, what tragedy has taken place in their life, a death of a loved one, a cancer, a sickness, anything that comes in their life, I'll tell you what, if you'll come close to the house of God and the local church, that's what that body of believers is there to lift you up. Yes, the thought's good. My friend, God had that plan years ago, but He has named it into the local church. So often I've had support groups that meet on what night? Wednesday night. Of course. That's church night. That's night to be in the house of God. Well, maybe years ago you gave up with a Bible study on Wednesday night. And I'll be honest with you, we don't have much of a number on Wednesday night. It's so sad. We're studying the book of Numbers. We're having a great time coming in to get the Israelites into the promised land. And yet there's just a handful that come to study the Word of God. People are lazy today. People don't see. They see the need to make money, the need to be self-fulfilled, the need to go to the support group, but no one sees the need to study the Word of God. That's a trick of Satan. Please, that you search the Word of God. You trust in the name of Jesus Christ, and He will eternally keep you forever, and the desire of your heart will not be to sin. Oh, the victory by Satan will come often. The surrender of the flesh will come often. But we have a Holy Spirit. I have a Holy Spirit. He is in me. And He will guide and lead me to know Jesus. And to know Jesus is to know the Father. And praise God, to know God the Father. To know Jesus the Son. To know the Holy Spirit. To walk after the ways and the presence of God. My desire is not to sin. That doesn't mean that I don't sin. Because I do. But the desire of my heart, that's the difference. The desire. It says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, when we become born again, we are dead to sin. We got a different heart. Born again, dead to sin. How can we live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized, I'm still in the sixth chapter of Romans, verse 3 now. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Oh, my friend, to be placed in the likeness of the death of the Lord Jesus. We are buried with Him. We are immersed in Him. That's what that word baptism means. Now, you know that I believe in immersion for baptism. But you also know, if you've been listening very long, that baptism is not a requirement for salvation. Salvation is a free gift. There's not a work or an act that you or I can do to gain salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God that needs one word of acceptance, and we have Jesus as our Savior. Yes, you should follow the Lord in baptism immediately after you're saved, showing to those around you that I am a child of God, buried with Jesus Christ, and raised with Him. Those are beautiful verses of Scripture. To be planted into the likeness of His death, We have to die in order to have a take on the life of Jesus. We have to die to self in order for us to allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Die to self. Now that comes when we turn. You're a sinner, face you're a sinner. Face you're lost in that sin. Now it's time for you to open your eyes and look up unto the Lord Jesus and meet Him at that cross where He offered His life for yours. Oh, to know of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's a great day to study the precious Word of God. Paul understands, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, for him to walk every day. Real life comes when you meet Jesus Christ. But you are not afraid of the grave that's to come. And it's even not even, there's no fear there. It's also gain, because that's the day I'm going to get rid of this old body. Get rid of this old flesh, and finally, for the first time, total and complete victory. And most of all, I will meet Jesus face to face. Oh, that's going to be a glorious day. That is going to be a wonderful day. You know, at the cross, Jesus said in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. We know according to the precious Word of God, and we have in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and Jesus had cried out with a loud voice and said, "Father, into thy hands commend my spirit." Having said this, he gave up the ghost. Oh, my friend, when Jesus died on the cross, there are, again, three things I want you to remember, because there are so many cults, false religions, so many folks change the way just a little bit because they don't like it. God has completed His work in Jesus Christ. He has completed that. We have the picture again in those three chapters in Genesis that I told you earlier, plus many, many more, shows us such a beautiful picture of what Jesus was going to do for us some 4,000 years later at this time. And now it has been completed some 2,000 years ago, the gift that God has given us through His Son Jesus. It was God's plan, the Father's plan. He set it up through His plan that it must be the death of an innocent substitute, and there must be the shedding of blood. Now, we have here Jesus completing that. And He says in John 19:30, "It is finished." Well, let's look also in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21. Hebrews 9:21. I want you to understand the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That gospel that Paul stood upon, the words he knew, the power that he knew, the strength that he knew. Again, in Philippians 1:12, the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians 1:17, for the defense of the gospel. Verse 20 of chapter 1 of Philippians. Christ, that He be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. The way Paul looked at his life came from and through the power of God. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it tells us, and again we have John 19:30, Jesus dying on the cross, saying it's finished. In Hebrews 9:22, "And almost all things are by law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission." Purged with blood. A cleansing. Purged with blood. Now we have in Hebrews 9:18 and 21, back up just a little bit in that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 9:18 through 21, it tells us, "Wherefore neither the first testament was dedicated without blood." We notice we always have the blood, and the requirement is the shedding of blood. I want to show you the importance of that shed blood. In verse 19, Hebrews 9:19, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to us." Do you notice what he did? He applied the blood. Moreover, he sprinkled likewise with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost again, all things by the law are purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The shedding of blood, the applying of the precious blood. And if you'll back up just a little bit to the 11th verse now of Hebrews 9, we'll read down through the 14th verse, beginning with verse 11, Hebrews 9:11. "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. With his own blood, by his own blood, he entered into the Holy of Holies." Oh, my friend, and he bought and paid for us, having eternal redemption, having obtained eternal redemption. John 19:30 again, he said, "It's finished." When he took his blood then into the Holy of Holies in heaven to complete that. Verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve a living God?" Don't deny the shedding of blood, the applying of that precious blood. Yes, the death was necessary. Yes, the blood is necessary. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. Again, 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 15, verse 11. "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so we believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also in vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, whether we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. And if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." You see how important the resurrection is? If there be no resurrection, we're still in our sin. If there'd been no death, we'd still be in our sin. If there'd been no application of the precious blood of Jesus, there'd be no forgiveness of sin. If there'd be no resurrection, there's no forgiveness of sin. Oh, my friend, to enjoy the precious Word of God. We have the resurrection on this day, and you know this day used to be a special day to me, but this day carries with me every day because I love Jesus Christ and the resurrection. We have in chapter 24 of Luke, verses 1 through 8, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." Do you remember his words? Oh, we've covered a lot of area, my friend. But Paul believed in the resurrection of Jesus. He believed in the death of Jesus. He believed in the precious blood of Jesus. And that's how he could say, and that's how he knew in his heart, that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. My dear friend, will you please make a decision for Jesus today? In your heart, what are you going to do about Jesus?